I thought about providing the special music tonight, but I only play one instrument. My nose, I blow it and pick it. Oh, that's bad. Boys and girls, K-4 through 3rd grade, you can be dismissed with my wife. Let me invite the rest of you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 for our text together this evening. Ephesians chapter 5. While you're turning there, let me ask you a question, and of course you don't really have to answer me out loud, but the question I'd like to ask you is this: have you ever done anything dumb? Stupid, foolish, crazy, yeah. I could stay up here all night probably literally and tell you story after story. I'm just going to give you one example. When I was a youth pastor in South Bend, Indiana, we were having revival meetings very similar to this that was starting up in our church. And that was starting on a Sunday, Saturday night. I had a canker sore. Have you ever had a canker sore? Canker sores are very painful. I don't like them. And I decided I am getting rid of that canker sore. So I remembered, you know what, I've got some canker sore medicine in my medicine cabinet. I'm going to go get it, take care of this. So about 11:30 at night, I go in, open up the medicine cabinet, and I get the canker sore medicine out, and I pull my lip out, and I put the medicine on my lip, and I put the lid on and put it back, and it's burning, you know. And we had a kind of a wide bathroom, so I'm kind of walking around, you know, because, you know, men don't cry, right? Their eyes just water profusely. So my eyes were watering, and so I'm walking around with my eyes burning all of it, and I come around here, and I look, and I have this really bad habit of leaving cabinet doors open. If I'm in the kitchen, I'm leaving, you know, all everywhere, just kind of a bad habit I have, and I left the medicine cabinet door open, and I looked, and I could see the canker sore medicine, and the label was facing towards me. Something didn't look right. So I walked over to it, and it said, Dr. Scholl's wart remover. Have you ever had that feeling of panic? Oh, what do I do? So immediately my mind just went to, have you ever read the labels on the back? If comes in contact with the eyes, if comes in contact with skin, immediately flush with water. So I got to flush it with water. Have you ever tried to get your bottom lip under the faucet of your bathroom sink? Like doing lip yoga, man. I turn the water on, and I looked. I'm not kidding you. My lip was already turning gray because it's acid. It was actually already attaching itself and eating into my skin. And I've got to get this off. So what I did is I just looked for the first thing that could get that off my lip, which was my toothbrush. And I grabbed my toothbrush, and I am brushing my lip and skin. And my lip is coming off, and blood is in the sink, and it was very gross. But did you know the canker sore healed up in like a day? Now, the whole point of that story is this. I could have avoided the entire mess if I had just done one thing. Make sure that what was supposed to go on the canker sore was what I was putting on the canker sore. In short, I was simply careless. I want to tell you something. I have traveled for now in evangelism for 8 years. I was a youth pastor for 8.5 years in 2 different churches. Can I tell you one of the greatest causes of destruction and harm in the lives of people? It's destroyed more marriages. It's ruined more teenagers. Have made messes of their lives. College students wrecked their lives. Can I tell you what it is? Carelessness. It's not that they were intending to do all these bad things or to be involved in all this stuff and all this sin. It's just they were just simply careless. And they started making careless choices, and those careless choices brought about horrible consequences that they never even dreamed of. And the challenge tonight is this. From Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to see the challenge. Don't live carelessly for Christ. Live carefully. Now, I want you to notice something. In Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 1. The Bible says this, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now that's very interesting, and here's why. Look this way, please. When he says children, here's what that means. It means that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When we talk about someone having children, we talk about someone giving birth, it's life. and there is a personal relationship with the child to the parent. The parent is the giver of life to that child, and there is a relationship with the child to the parent that is forever. Never ends. Now here's the point. The Bible makes it very clear that we can have a personal relationship with God. John 1:12 says this, "But as many as received Him, Jesus Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." In John chapter 3, a religious man came to Jesus Christ and was talking about how he could have a relationship with God, and he said, "You must be born again." Now here's what that means. All of us have been born physically. We all have physical life. However, none of us, when we are born physically, have spiritual life. We're all, the Bible says, we're dead in trespasses and sins. And so the way that we can have spiritual life is for God to give it to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2 says, "He that hath the Son hath life." Here is the reality. You can have the life of God. You can have a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, immediately you are given life, spiritual life, from God to you. That life is eternal, and you, from that point on, have an eternal relationship with God Himself. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you have a personal relationship with God? Have you been born again? Have you been given eternal life because you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and received Him as your Savior? You might say, "Well, Brother Savinsky, I don't know about that, but I do know this. I'm a good person." "Oh, I don't know about that, but I'm a member of a religion. I go to this kind of church, and I'm faithful to it, and I give to it." "Well, I don't know about that, Brother Savinsky, but I've taken communion. I've had someone confirm me." Can I tell you something? That's not the question I asked you. None of those things can give you a personal relationship with God. None of them. The only way that we can have a personal relationship with God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. When we acknowledge our sin before Him and by faith receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Do you have a personal relationship with God? Can you say, "I'm a child of God"? If not, my challenge to you is this. Don't be careless with your soul. If you are careless about entering into a personal relationship with God, there are so many people, "I don't have time for God. I don't have time for church. I've got so many things going on right now. I'm too busy. And, you know, maybe when I get older, when I have a more convenient time, then maybe I'll think about having a relationship with God." That's careless. James 4:14 says, "Whereas you know not what is on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Don't be careless about having a personal relationship with Christ, because if you die without having a personal relationship with Christ, it is from that point on impossible for you to have a relationship with Christ. You are then, by your sin, condemned to a place called hell for all eternity. If you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, tonight you can. By faith receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and placing your faith and trust in Him, you can have a personal relationship with Him and be a child of God. For those of you who are, I want you to see our challenge. Look at verse 15. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now tonight the message is going to be a little bit different. There's not three points. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through the verse, kind of word by word, and then we're going to make some application at the end. So look, please, at the first two words. It says, "See then." Now, those two words together means pay attention to this. Or you could say, pay attention to observe this. This is something that God wants you to give special attention to. Now, then look back at your Bible. It says, "See then that ye." Here's a neat little truth. When the Bible says "ye," generally, most of the time, it means me. So God is speaking to you tonight, sir. Ma'am, God is speaking to you. And by the way, this verse is for me. The Bible says I need to be very careful to pay attention to something. And here's what He says. "See then that ye walk." Now, look this way, please. When it says walk, There, it's not talking about the way you put your feet in front of the other. Now let me just say this. Two things bother me. Number one, I don't like it when a guy walks like a girl. And number two, it scares me when a girl walks like a guy. Alright? Walk like a guy, walk like a girl, walk like what you are. That's not what this word means. The word walk, it's an interesting word. It literally means life or living. Now I want you to understand this, follow me. When it's all of us that makes us who we are, what we do, our choices that we make. Follow this. You know what walking is? It's putting one foot in front of the other, taking steps that take me in a specific direction. Now, understand this. Life is made up of choices. Those would be the steps. Choices that I make in my life that are taking my life in a certain direction. I'm going to ask you a question. Look at me. Where are the choices of your life taking you? Where's your life headed? Where is the spiritual direction that your life is taking, sir? Ma'am, I would ask you this evening, where is the direction that your life is taking you? You see, it involves everything. I mean, there's nothing that you can't include. Talk your relationship, husband and wife. It could be your relationship with the Lord. It could involve what you watch. It can involve what you listen to, your conversation, what you think about, what you do with your time, what you do with your money. It literally involves everything that makes you who you are. There's nothing excluded. It's your living. So he says, pay very special attention that the way you live your life, the choices that you are making on a daily basis that take your life in a specific direction. Now look back at our verse. See then that ye walk, he says, circumspectly. Now we don't use that word very often, but here's what it means. It means with carefulness or caution. It's the idea of I'm walking very carefully, looking where I am placing my feet. I'm going in the right direction. I'm going to be paying attention to where I'm placing my feet. I've hiked up in the mountains of Montana. I've hiked in the Grand Canyon. And when you are on certain trails, you don't just wander mindlessly. You are making sure exactly where I am placing my feet so that I don't have a fall. And by the way, you need to make sure that your life, the choices you're making, is being done with carefulness and with caution so that your life doesn't suffer a spiritual fall. Then he says this. He gives a phrase. He says, not as fools, but as wise. Now, not as fools is a negative. Now, that word fools there is very interesting. It means literally someone who acts without thinking. When I was in high school, we went to a revival meeting down in Florida. And typically, we traveled with a trailer, kind of like we have. But this time, we didn't. We stayed with a friend of our family, Phil and Brenda Welsh. He was a Cadillac salesman, and he'd inherited some money. He had a very nice home down there in Florida. So we stayed with him. On the Saturday night before the revival meeting started on Sunday, we went to a youth activity. And he had a daughter named Stephanie. Stephanie was my older brother Todd's age. And I had a friend whose name was Scott. He was my age. I grew up going to that church every year from the time I was born all the way through high school. So we were good friends. So we did the youth activity. Now, Phil had just bought his daughter a brand new Volkswagen Rabbit. Baby blue, white top, white interior, very girly car, very cute. And that's what we drove to the youth activity. Well, after the youth activity, the youth pastor left, the youth sponsors left, all the teens left. And I'm not really sure how this happened, but somehow we were in the parking lot of the church, and Stephanie was in the driver's seat, Todd was in the passenger seat, my friend Scott was on the bumper, his feet on the bumper, holding onto the sides of the car, and I was spread eagle on top of the car, holding onto the windshield like this. And she was driving around the parking lot trying to throw me off. And due to my innate athleticism, she failed, thankfully. And, you know, we did it for 10, 15 minutes, and hey, you know, all right, it was done. We get in the car, take Scott home, we go home. Well, we were pretty excited. We had a fun night, you know, and we were, you know, as teens can be a little spastic, a little energetic. We came in the house, we were like, hey, you know, Dad, and we walked in the house. Have you ever walked into your house, and even though the lights are on, it seems dim? The air is thick, you know what I mean? And then it's the atmosphere where it's almost like someone has died, but nobody's really died yet, but somebody's going to. You know what I mean? We walk in, hey, Dad. And my dad and Mr. Welch are standing there looking like the Gestapo. And they don't say, hi, how are you? We walk in the door and they're, Stephanie, were you driving the car with Brent on top of the car and Scott on the back of the car? And there's that immediate in your mind, how did you know this? Some little old lady. Oh, boy. There are very few things in this world more dangerous than a little old lady who has nothing to do but to go spy on teenagers. And if I knew what nursing home she was in right now, I'd put her in her wheelchair and put her in the elevator and play with the numbers. I wouldn't do that. But I'll tell you, she called Uncle Phil and told him what happened. And man, we got in just so much trouble. See, I'm not a big guy, but I was on top of that car. I had a belt with a belt buckle on, and I was sliding back and forth. And I scratched the fire on the top of that car. And my dad got us alone, and he looked at me. He said, son, what were you thinking? Now, I looked at my dad. In integrity of soul and in purity of heart and conscience, and I said, I don't know. Because you know what the reality is? I wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking about, is this a good idea? Am I going to scratch your car? What happens if she succeeds and I go rolling across the pavement? I didn't think about that. It just seemed like something fun to do, and I just acted on my feelings and my emotions, did what I thought was okay. That was foolish. You see, the Bible says we're not to live as fools. The word fools means someone who acts or lives without thinking. The Bible puts it this way, a fool, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. It's not necessarily, it can mean that a foolish person says that God doesn't exist. It can mean that. And the reason somebody would say, I deny the existence of God, is so that they have no spiritual authority. However, the other interpretation, and probably the one that would be more favorable, would be this. Someone saying, not that I doubt that God exists, but in reality, you know, for me, there is no God for me. There's no authority for me. There's no God. There may be a God who exists, but He has absolutely no authority in my life. He doesn't tell me how to live or what to do. I live my life as if I am the authority and no God exists. That's kind of what it means. See, a foolish person is someone who lives their life without ever considering that God has a way He wants me to live, and I'm to live to please Him. And that's why, see, that's the negative. Then there's the positive that He says, we're not to live as fools. He says, but look back at our verse. He says, not as fools, but as wise. You see, wisdom, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is me seeking to live my life from God's perspective or God's point of view in a way that's pleasing to Him. And I know what's pleasing to Him by this book, by the Word of God. So let's take that all and put it together in a nutshell. The Bible says, see then, be careful, pay attention, that you, that I, that we walk, our living, everything about us in our life is being done, it says, with that you walk or you live carefully, with extreme caution and carefulness, not as a fool would live, somebody who lives their life without thinking about God, His Word, His plan for their life, but as wise, somebody who fears God, who loves God, and wants to please God. That's it in a nutshell. However, I want to ask you this question. How are you living in light of that verse? Are you living carefully or carelessly? I'm speaking to some husbands and wives. Your relationship is just, it's careless. Take each other for granted. Maybe careless flirtations with someone at work. It's harmless. No, it's not. Maybe a young man or a young lady, my obedience and honor to my mom and dad. It's not that, I smart off a little bit, or I don't do everything I'm supposed to do, and I'm a little deceitful, get around their back. It's not that important. Yes, it is. And we don't have time to exhaust every application, but it literally means this. Every area of our life is to be lived with carefulness and caution. I'm going to ask you tonight, are you living carefully for Jesus Christ? If you are born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Are you being careful, paying careful attention that my life, the steps of my life, the choices I'm making that are taking my life in a spiritual direction, that they are being done with carefulness and caution, not as a fool, but as wise, as someone who fears, loves, and is seeking to obey God? Are you living carelessly or carefully for Christ? If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to ask you a question. Are you being careless or are you being careful about your eternal soul? I'm not talking, I didn't ask you about, again, not about a religion. I'm not asking you what member of a church you are. I'm not asking you about the things you've done or if you think your good works are going to outweigh your bad. I am asking you, do you know, based on the authority of the Word of God, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And have you received Him as your personal Savior so that you can, as the Bible says, be a follower of God as a dear child? Your relationship with God is the reason that you walk the way you walk. Are you living carelessly or carefully for Christ? Would you bow your heads and hearts with me tonight, please?